Singer and I have been given mirror images, I guess, of the same subject. I've had several people ask me what that subject meant, and I guess it can mean a lot of things. Somebody said, well, does it mean you're going to play with the Des Moines team or the Chicago team? The majors and minors, and of course we speak of that in music and in college educations and many other different ways. But Brother Basinger mentioned my particular subject one time late in his talk, and that had to do with priorities. That this basically is a lesson in priorities, and certainly that's easy to see from what you've already heard about this topic. We tend to downplay some things that are mighty important and emphasize, as has been pointed out, things that really are of secondary importance. One time during the lifetime of Jesus, well, in fact, several times, learned men came to Jesus and tested him. They came to him with questions, seeking to trap him in his answers, make him unpopular with some of the people, or trap him up in his theological reasoning and so on. But one time, a lawyer came to him and to test him and said, what is the greatest commandment of the law? We tend to think in terms of that when we think of the laws of God. Well, what is really important that God wants me to do? Well, I defy you to mention a law of God that is not important just on the basis of who gave the law in the first place. But Jesus didn't fall into any trap. He said the first and greatest commandment, of course, is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is just like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said at one time that on these two hang all the law and the prophets. You sum up all your responsibilities to God and man in those two things. So certainly we're talking about something that is of major importance. Another time, however, a young man came to Jesus. Pardon me. And asked him a question, not so much testing him, but he said, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus, of course, he impressed on Jesus that he'd done all these things that the commandments asked him to do. He'd refrained from doing the bad things. Jesus gave him one more thing that had to do with helping out his fellow men. And that young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He had something that should have been of secondary importance and was putting it in place of something of major importance. Joshua, great leader who took over from Moses when he led the people to the promised land and then God took Moses away, Joshua took over. One of the greatest generals, one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had. The 11th chapter of the book of Joshua, the 15th verse, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. The next statement is really a strong one. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua left nothing undone. He was a thorough individual, but while he was a general, yet he was a man of God, and he left nothing undone. Back in the book of Genesis, we have a statement in which God commended Moses. In the 18th chapter, as he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Pardon me. For I know him. God said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Here are some more things that are pretty important. I know him, that he will not only obey himself, but he will command his children and his household, and they will do justice and judgment. That's the kind of man Abraham is. He was meeting with the approval of God. Speaking of priorities, I thought about the condition of our nation today. The past couple of decades have been, we've come to speak of the generations as the me generations. And I realize that that lumps the whole generation into one category, and that's really not fair. It's not right, because there are lots of people who don't fall into that danger. But there are a lot of Americans who do. There are a lot of Americans who think that the great appeal of America for the throughout the world, to other nations of the world, should be, look, we've got two cars in every driveway. We've got refrigerators. We've got televisions. We've got VCRs. We've got all of these things. But there's something more important than those things. Those things are minor importance compared to some other things. We tend to forget that this is based on the value of the individual. This country is based on liberty for everybody and an opportunity for everyone. That every one of us is an important part of society, and every one of us is important before Almighty God. We forget about those things and think about material things. We're putting our priorities wrong. We're getting the major things in the background and putting the minors up here on the pedestal. We tend to think that if I can just get a good job, and we put all of our emphasis on that, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a good job, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a good salary. But when these material things become the driving force, then we have the priorities wrong. And if I can just get here, I'll have a good social position. And if I can get a big house over in an influential section of town, and people will know who I am, and I project a good image. What image can I project? You know, one time something was said about the images that the apostles projected. When they came into town, it is said that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They projected an image, all right. If you want an image to project, there's one for you. The most important one that you can ever project. That you have been with Jesus. Jesus mentioned a rich man who had so many riches that he was going to have to tear down his barns and build bigger. It wasn't the fact that he had a lot of wealth, but it was his priority. Jesus said, "Thou fool." Fool? He's successful. He's making lots of money. Thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? Whose will these things be? Perhaps there's another question that I should ask rather than how can I reach my greatest potential? How can I further my career? How can I maximize my opportunities? There's something else that's of even greater importance. The trouble is, there's nothing wrong with ambition and hard work, but there is something wrong if we sacrifice the valuable things of life to get those things. In America today, the family is often secondary. It hasn't been very many days since there was an MTV singing star being interviewed, and he professed a great love and dedication to his family. And the interviewer asked a question, I don't know whether it was tongue-in-cheek or not, but he said, does this mean then that you're going to stay home and do children's games or PTA? And his answer was four words, not on your life. So when it came down to the real question, not on your life, am I going to stay home and do children's games and PTA? There are worse things he could have been doing. In fact, I think he was doing some of them. The trouble in America, one problem in America today, and until we solve this problem, the problems of crime in our streets and drugs and that sort of problem will never be solved, and that is the problem of the weak home. the stationary platform from which the young child can spring into life. Give him a solid footing as he starts his journey through life. And you've given him something important. Instead of worrying about the minor things, we put the major things secondary. Weak homes are at the very basis of the problems that we're having in America. People tend to run to the government and say, what can the government do about these problems? Or they look at the schools and say, what can the schools do about these problems? Well, neither the government nor the schools nor the churches can do it if the homes don't do it. So the home becomes a very important thing. And the weak homes of America have become a cancer, destroying the very fabric of our society. A leading educator on television just this past week said, it is not better schools that our children need, nor better curricula. It is better childhoods. And he was looking backward toward the home. Now, I don't think he was shunning or passing the buck and shunning the responsibility that the schools have, but if the homes don't do it, the schools can't. So, each of us being from a home, one of the most important things we can do is to make that a strong home, a strong and stable platform. In the schools, sadly enough, we dare not mention religion. Teaching morality in many cases is just absolutely taboo. But I submit that giving children technical guidelines for their lives without teaching morality and ethics is useless. Just frustrating. It can't be done. So often we have today trained technicians without educating people. And if a person grows to adulthood with technical skills but no training in ethics and morality, he hasn't been educated. Regardless of how much money we've spent, he is an uneducated individual. Schools can't do this alone, but they certainly should be unshackled from short-sighted restraints and allowed to do the best they can. Sadly, they can teach certain godless religions, but they can't teach Christianity and they can't teach morality. I think the pendulum is beginning to swing a little bit, and some of the public are becoming dissatisfied with those things. Religion itself is not without some blame, speaking, of course, of religion as a whole. Jesus said that in the days of Noah, people went blindly on their way. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The idea was, of course, they were going merrily along their way. And then he said they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. I wonder how Jesus would describe our generation. Are we not doing much the same sort of thing? Sometimes we rationalize our lack of interest and disobedience to God's command because we can't do those things because, well, what's the use? Look at the hypocrites in the church. Of all the faulty, fallacious reasoning I've ever heard in my life, that is one of the worst. Somebody's a hypocrite, so I can't do what I should. I never could see the reasoning in that, but yet, that's the way people reason. And religious confusion. All the various denominations. Which one's right, which one's wrong. And the churches, in many cases, have promulgated injustices. In fact, the greatest dictatorship of all time, the bloodiest of all time, was that by a religion over the world. But on the other hand, there are some well-meaning people who get their priorities backward. I remember reading about a couple who were evangelists, husband and wife. Both went out preaching. They were busy all the time, every evening, a meeting somewhere, preaching, singing, teaching, counseling during the daytime. Very busy folks, every day, just going. They had a little daughter. The little daughter, a small child, was left at home to play in the backyard, to go inside and drink some milk and eat some cookies. And that went on after months and months of that. The neighbors got interested, and they discovered that this little girl was malnourished, she was sick, she was dirty, and in fact it was so bad that the authorities came and took the child away. Mother and father were too busy preaching. They had something wrong there with their priorities. Now that's just an outstanding example of having the priorities all crazy. One of the most important things they could have been doing was rearing that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But they weren't doing it. There's so many examples in the scriptures of people who emphasize the wrong thing. Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew the 23rd chapter. And he called them hypocrites. You tithe mint, anise, and cumin, but you overlook justice and mercy and faith. It's not wrong to pay tithes, or wasn't wrong to pay tithes under the law of Moses. It was proper and right. But Jesus mentions these herbs as being a small crop. It isn't something like a farmer having 10,000 bushels of corn. These are garden herbs. And they insisted that these tithes be paid. He might well have been telling those people, your synagogue budgets are more important to you than righteousness. Your nitpickers who expect every T to be crossed and every I to be dotted, and you insist on perfection in these little things, but you overlook mercy, justice, and faith. The very core of religion. He said, you are blind. You whitewash the outside. Appearances are all important to you. We spoke about image. Appearance is all important. You maintain a facade of religion, but you tolerate disobedience and evil. You not only do those things, but you mislead other people. You're like whited sepulchers. Beautiful appearance on the outside, but inside are the bones of men that you have misled by your hypocrisy. They had their priorities wrong. They were insisting on all of these things being done so their budgets would stay on track, but they neglected the really important things. Reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to tell that story in detail tonight because it's so familiar to all of us. But you'll recall that when that poor man was left lying by the roadside, dirty, bleeding, and probably unconscious, and along came a priest. Oh, everything's going to be all right. A man of God. Priest comes down, looks at him, no doubt is concerned. Well, that's a terrible thing to have happen. He gets across the other side of the road and on down he goes. So much for his religion. He's probably going somewhere to hold a service and he can't be busy helping this man out. Well, then along came a Levite. Well, maybe this man will do it. He's a good Jew, and of his tribe, the priests are chosen. But he doesn't want to be involved either, so he goes on down the road and leaves the man there. And pretty soon, the third individual. You know, he was a Samaritan. You know what the other Jews called him? Probably the priest and Levite. A dog. He's a dog. He's beneath human dignity. But what did he do? He came over and cleansed the wounds, put on bandages, transported the man to the nearest inn, even promised to pay the bill and said he'd check back on the man. He's the dog, all right. But Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Because he had his priorities right. He probably didn't have to go somewhere and preach a sermon. All he had to do was just help his fellow man. There's so many stories of people with their priorities. Naaman the leper is another. Naaman changed his tune, however. He was the commander of the Syrian army. You remember when he came down to Elisha and just a servant was sent out. And he was angry. Why couldn't he do more than that? And then when he was told that he should go dip in the Jordan River, he was furious. Why, there's nothing good about this Jordan River, and besides, we've got better rivers up home than this, if all I want to do is dip in the river. But he had a servant, a man, a helper, who came to him and said, now listen, if that prophet had told you some great thing, you would have moved heaven and earth to do it. But all he told you was go dip in the Jordan River. And the man did it. He convinced him that he should go dip in the Jordan River, and he was cured. After he was cured, he was grateful. He came back to the prophet and was grateful to him. He offered to give him great and expensive gifts, and that became another problem to the servant. So our emphasis on priorities. Somebody mentioned a while ago making mountains out of molehills. Sometimes we do the opposite. We take the mountain and try to ignore it and think of it as a molehill. It's just something little. Jesus said you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We strain out these little things that irritate us and that we consider wrong and allow the big ones to take us over. We raise issues sometimes with one another over, as Brother Basinger was pointing out a little bit ago, we argue over about some of these things that really in the long run are not going to amount to anything to us anyway. And then something that really is significant, we just overlook it. We quibble sometimes over the laws of God. Paul mentioned some things that are important. He said to the Corinthian church, I came to you not with excellency of speech and so on. For he says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now you talk about priorities. That is what Paul was preaching. That is our message. That is the message of the church to the world. Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's fairly simple, isn't it? That is the first, most valuable thing that we have. And Paul said to the same congregation, seven chapters later, ninth chapter, he said, I suffer all things, lest I should hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. I put up with a lot of things that are of secondary importance, he could have added. I put up with just a lot of different things so that I will not hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 and 4, 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:11. He was using all means, as he says in that passage, doing everything possible, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the righteous dead. That was Paul's aim. He was doing everything possible to attain it. Where are those other priorities that we were talking about, Paul? Well, Paul had erased those from his life. The things that were gain I counted loss to me, that I might win Christ. in Christ Jesus, in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 11th verse. In Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So these cultural differences that exist between us, the ethnic differences, the national differences, the social differences, none of those matter. But Christ is all and in all. So perhaps we can list a bunch of things here, a list of items that are important. First of all, obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first thing that a person must do to please God is to obey His Son. If you don't listen to the Son of God, then you're not going to be able to please God. You must listen to His Son. Obey the gospel, because it is the power of God to salvation. The power of God to salvation. Build up your faith. Build up my faith. The apostles one time said, Lord, increase our faith. Edify yourself, your Christian character. There is no greater thing that should occupy your mind and heart. You say, well, you're emphasizing self again. That's right. Paul said to Timothy on one occasion, take heed to yourself and to the gospel. Take heed to yourself and to the gospel. After we've done some of those things and have started that, then some other things come up as important. Christian marriage is a very important thing so that we can have those stable homes, a good, solid Christian marriage, rearing Christian children. Probably the greatest service you can do to your family, to your church, to your community, and to your nation is to rear Christian children. That cannot be overestimated, the power of that. And then also sow the seeds of righteousness and salvation so that others may benefit from what you already know. Paul said, pursue things that make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And he said also, look not every man only on his own things, but also on the things of others. When it comes to the greatest priority of all, Jesus taught one time that it is better to cut off your hand than to commit sins and go to hell. Now, that's not an exact quotation, but he also said it's better to cut off your foot or to pluck out your eye than it is to sin before Almighty God and lose your soul. Now think about that priority for a minute. Would you be willing to make that sacrifice? No, Jesus wasn't advocating maiming self, but he was advocating setting priorities. Setting priorities. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Eternity is a long time. What is important? What's important to you? What am I emphasizing in my life? What am I spending my time and thought on and about? How am I treating those things? Another question might be, how will I feel about these things if I'm still conscious and approaching death, know that death is approaching, how would I feel about those things? And what will I be recalling about my life? What is important? That would cause us to set our priorities much differently, I'm afraid. This evening, as we ask these questions, of course, we're talking to all of you who No doubt most of you are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have obeyed the gospel, and I'm sure that many of you here don't fall under the condemnations that I've mentioned as far as some of the thought in our country are concerned. You're doing a good job in trying to rear Christian children, and God bless you for that. But if there are those here tonight who have not obeyed the gospel, the time to think about priorities is now. To get priorities and set them straight. Gain control. Gain control over your fate and your destiny. Yes, you can. You can get control of that. And Jesus asked a question that perhaps all of us should ask ourselves today, especially if we haven't obeyed the gospel. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that is the things of this world, who will commit your trust to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, it all belongs to God. Who will give you that which is your own? Your fate depends on how you answer that question about serving the Lord. You can take advantage of the opportunity this evening to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to obey the gospel, to become a child of His, get your priorities straight and right, and be unafraid of what the future may hold, knowing that Jesus has promised that for His children He will come and take them back to Him, and we can spend eternity with Him. If you would make that move tonight and set your priorities right, won't you come as we stand and sing our invitation song?